Like, yeah. No one would be terribly surprised if Andy Farrell picked Robbie Henschel. Like, oh, he's shit. No, get him out of the team.
That's not what
that's what commenters are saying.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
Colin Bewick and Arthur O'D. Good morning, lads. How are things?
Well, Shane.
What's going on? How are we keeping? Pretty all well. Good? All good? The headlines in a lot of the papers. Well, I'm just trying to find if there's one as good as Bilbao Braggins from last week, which was excellent.
Yeah.
But I don't know if there's going to be. So we'll check. Who'll pay the bill? Anjan Rubin in shootout. That's fair enough.
The bill's only 1-0.
Yeah, the Bills 1-0 for Bilbao, but what's...
And the Lion Teddy is called Bill, but 1-0.
What do they mean, who'll pay the bill? As in, who'll get the money for winning?
No.
Say that again?
The Lion's Teddy is called Bill.
Ah, for the 1-0. Youngest player.
Yeah.
Interesting. It's a good name for a teddy. It's not a great name for a baby. Imagine your child was called Bill. Anyway.
My dad.
Yeah, let us know. Pollock gets Lions call up after one cap. We will discuss the Lions as well. Man United and Spurs into Europa League final at the top. The Herald goes with Leeds ready to grab Kelleher. Premier League newcomers linked with 40 million bid for Ireland keeper. So that could be a very positive move you'd imagine for Cueven Kelleher. And a photo of Mason Mount cupping the hand to the ear. And his introduction on the hour mark, along with Ahmad and Luke Shaw, certainly pivotal in Manchester United turning the screw on Athletic Club Bilbao last night. Any other decent plays on words with the headlines from the Europa League last night? Let's see. The Irish Daily Mail goes with Lions go green. A full English in Europa final. That's all right, I suppose. See you soon.
What's it spelled?
EU apostrophe. The Mirror, see you in the final. A lot of ones just phoning it in this morning.
How's it spelled?
EU. Because you see what they did there, Europa League. Because Europa. So yeah, some decent headlines. But what do we make of that last night? Will we start with Manchester United and the 4-1 win on the night against Athletic Club Bilbao, 7-1 in aggregate. I think for most United fans, when Athletic scored that opening goal last night, there were a few nervous sweats and thoughts about what the second half was to bring. But ultimately, United did a very diligent and professional job.
It did. There was mild scares. I mean, look, the Williams brothers were out, Inaki and Nico. They didn't have much of a goal threat.
Yes.
And Berenguer, who was half decent in the first leg, he was their boy, really.
Mm.
He had that shot. The curler inside the box just went over.
Yeah.
And then another shot, which went narrowly wide. And then when they scored, I thought, that's a great finish. Like, there's three mistakes. Maguire, just go back to the goalkeeper. What are you doing passing?
What are
you doing passing out? Where's the midfield? To prevent the shot happening, like, where's the midfield? Totally gone. And then Onana, you should save it, really.
Yeah, why?
Plenty of time to see it.
They shouldn't go.
Plenty of time to shuffle over, but still a good finish. So I thought, yeah, they have a half chance here, Bilbao. But second half is very good. And Mason Mount, like, just, you know, finally. Like, they were the first goals at Old Trafford for Manchester United, would you believe?
First? Well, for Mason Mount.
Yeah.
The two goals as well. Like...
Federico Makeda for the first one.
It was lovely. Yeah, it was very similar to that, wasn't it?
What a legacy Makeda has in football is that he has a goal.
One
that
goal.
Is described as the Makeda goal.
Yeah.
I looked him up this morning. He's 33, still playing.
Who's he playing?
His football in Greece.
Okay.
Yeah. So great finish there. And then the left footed finish by Mount in injury time to seal the deal. It's like, yeah, you forget, like, this guy's a really technically good player. Like, this is a former England international as a regular player for them. And the certainly the Derby version of Mason Mount when he was on loan under Frank Lampard's Derby. And the Chelsea one as well. Around the 2021 Champions League, that was a really good player, that Mount, that version of him. But everyone's kind of forgotten about that guy.
Yeah.
He scored against Brentford as well last weekend.
He did.
In instantly forgettable Premier League 4-3. And then two last night. So he's coming into form at the perfect time. If they were announcing a Lions squad, he'd have a chance.
He would.
He's really peaked at the correct time.
He's a late bloomer.
And... I probably have him as slight favourites against Spurs in the final, but I'd say there's very little between the sides.
Which is a funny thing to say when United have lost, the last three against Spurs, but it's just the confidence in the camp, the fact that they've got lads back from injury, including Ahmad.
There's just nothing between them, like, right?
Yeah.
But the fact that Spurs have lost James Maddison, and Mason Mount has started finally to play a bit of football, and Ahmad came on last night, like you said, and he did really well. So I just lean ahead of him there. But Spurs played two sitting midfielders last night, which really seemed to help them, in Yves Bissouna and Rodrigo Bentancur. Maybe out of necessity, because with the absence of Maddison, I don't know, was he going to shape up that way anyway, because they were 3-1 up in aggregate. But it's not like Ange to hold back, and they seem to be a bit more structured.
Is Maddison out?
He's gone for the rest of the season. Yeah. So for that reason, I just about have United as favourites, but like, very little in this final. Very little in it.
There's a lot of those United players though who have won things before.
A lot.
Yeah.
The bit of experience.
Which I don't think it's not for nothing.
Yeah.
So I think that would probably stand to them. They're not going to be necessarily overawed by the prospect at all.
No, I don't think so.
But like the performance in the second half last night, particularly when in the last half hour, would lead you to scratch your head even further as to what's happened this season in the Premier League for United. Because when you see them performing, like, maybe it's just that the game or the players are suited more to the less physical European football.
Well, it's an interesting point, because I don't know if it's a damning indictment of the rest of the European leagues outside of the main contenders. Like that itself, you have to balance that statement, because look at the Champions League finalists.
Yeah,
obviously non-Premier League clubs, but like, you look at a club like Athletic Bilbao, they're a decent side in La Liga. They're contending for the Champions League, and this version of Manchester United have just hammered them over two legs.
Yeah, it's hard to know though. They only bet Rangers 1-0 on aggregate, wasn't it, as well?
Yeah.
Like, they just got over two legs.
Yeah.
Like Man United haven't lost in Europe, have they?
No, that's the thing. They're just weirdly strong.
2-0 in aggregate, they won 2-0 at home.
They're just very strangely strong in this tournament. And like Casemiro kind of emphasises that. Like, he's been really good in Europe compared to his Premier League form. So I don't know what that says about everyone. Maybe there isn't a commentary about it at all, and these were just two games where Bilbao severely underperformed. And they obviously were out their two star forwards. Well, certainly Nico Williams, but Iñaki Williams could get a goal too. So look, maybe they were really struggling without the numbers, but they're not really a goal threat anyway. And United kind of comfortably won in the end, which is hard to believe that you describe Ruben Amorim's version of Manchester United as comfortable winners. But that's how it came to be. And like, there'll be so few games in the Premier League United have played this season where they'll have an outcome like that, where they handily win the game at the end. But like I say, look, the Champions League finalists are not Premier League sides, like, so.
In the first half, it was nervy, and then you have, like, Patrick Dorgu was involved in a lot of positive things for United. Garnacho had a couple of tame enough efforts on goal, and you're never
the confident. One-on-one with Garnacho.
You never feel like he's going to score.
Paul Scholes made this point at half-time, was interesting. It was like, Garnacho can get you some great goals, like the Brentford one last weekend.
Oh,
he plays that 1-2, screamer from outside the box, and he scored a really, like, good goal at Craven College. It was the day that Cristiano Ronaldo did the Piers Morgan interview. Like, oh, we got a star here. But Scholes made the point, it was like, he never finishes one-on-ones like that.
So not a striker.
Patrick Dorgu puts him through, and I suppose he just tries to do the...
Do you know, like, what he did?
Nani was in attendance. He tried to do the Nani finish.
Do you know what he did? Nani was in attendance.
He was, yeah.
Do you remember against Arsenal? It was disallowed. He was like...
Oh, yeah. The 2-1.
He finished that one.
He did, yeah, and he never recovered, yeah, because it was never counted. To this day, he's in the bar at 2 in the morning. That should count. I'll never finish like that again. But that would have been a perfect, side footed finish into the bottom corner. You would have been laughing. He got subbed for Ahmad.
Strange game. It's going to be a strange game.
Very unusual.
It
won't be like Liverpool Spurs 2019. It'll be a different type of strange game involving an all English side with Spurs in a European final.
Because that was Liverpool were heavy favourites going into that.
But that
final
game was bizarre, because it was 3 weeks before.
Yeah,
like, so it felt like a pre-season game by the time they got to it. And the game was dead after a couple of minutes because of the penalty.
Yeah,
yeah.
I got a message. I'm sure you got a message as well.
We both got the same message from
Bob Dwyer,
iconic YouTuber Bob Dwyer.
How do you get your number?
It's an Instagram message. He messaged me. This is dedication from Bob. The night before he got married, quite recently. Congratulations to the lovely couple. Getting married tomorrow. The last time Spurs won the UEFA Cup was 1984, and my parents got married that year. Liverpool won the league in 84. And that season that Spurs won it, the manager left that summer. It's written in the stars. So
yeah.
Could be happening again for Bob Dwyer.
There would be, I wouldn't be shocked. I'd be minorly surprised if Spurs won. That'd be about it.
Yeah.
There's nothing between these sides.
Ah, no.
These are very, very similar.
Yeah.
Very similar. Like, Spurs on a good day, as we've seen this season, they do beat Manchester United. But the crack has gone out of Ange. And, you know what I mean?
Gone. I don't even think he enjoy it.
He was still living in the post-match press conference. Did you see this?
Yeah.
They were quoting Ruben Amorim saying, this won't save United's season no matter what. If they win the Europa League, it'll still have been a disaster. And basically, he was like, watching that, Ange. He was like, why you ask me about that? Why don't you ask them about that? This is us. And it was like, 2 years ago, Ange would have laughed that off in a charming way, but it's destroyed him.
He's really, it's the pressure.
Do you think if they win, if Spurs win, he'll do the Jose Mourinho 2004, take the medal off straight away, throw it away and go down?
I don't know, but I think he probably walks. I
said that last week. He's not going to walk away from the money. They'll have to come to some sort of mutual agreement.
Oh, they'll be sacking him because he'll qualify them for the Champions League as well. He'll be in line for a bonus.
And then you maybe want someone else at the helm. If you're going, you don't want to do the Ten Hag thing where you keep him just because he's won the FA Cup.
Has everyone made up their mind about this, that nobody can see a way where Ange Postecoglou is still the Spurs manager next season, even if they go all the way?
Irreconcilable differences. It's untenable, as they would say in the divorce court.
No,
it is.
They've been shite.
He's been slagging like the fans. The stuff with the fans walking off pitches and stuff.
16th in the league.
I know.
Yeah.
Like as much if there's a little bit of leeway for Amorim because it's his first few months in the job, this is the end of his second season.
I'd like to ask Spurs fans this because none of us are Spurs fans, right? But we know plenty between us. There's one in the office. We have Eve come in with the 1985-86 Spurs jersey this morning to celebrate.
Great jersey.
We have an iconic one in the comments. We have many.
John
Spurs
Duggan,
fans, at the start of the season, if you were offered 16th in the Premier League, their all-time worst Premier League season, but you win the Europa League,
All of them would have taken it.
Would you take it?
100%.
Okay.
All of them, yeah.
So you say you think yes?
Yes.
Definitely?
All of them would
have. But your point is, well, they've been disastrous for the majority of the campaign. So why would you accept that?
Because it's like, well, if you're going if this is the balance that you've got by playing through the Europa League, and that's how you've managed to balance it, you're 16th in the league with those extra games in tow. What happens next year when you've got 8 far harder games to balance with the league form that you've already displayed yourself as incapable of carrying out? It's only going to get harder next year. Getting in the Champions League doesn't make it necessarily easier for them. Maybe they get a higher calibre of player, but I don't know if they're going to spend so much money that they're going to have this big deep squad all of a sudden.
So ironically, they could finish the season with a trophy, right? The Europa League, but their pre-season would be so detailed about how much they need to improve on compared to previous campaigns where they haven't won a trophy, but they'd be pretty happy with where they are. They're going to be in this bizarre situation if they do beat Manchester United in the final in Munich.
And he could win. Ange could win another trophy. Bilbao, of course. Yeah.
So, so you think
he's the zone out in geography class?
You think Spurs supporters would take it? Start of the season,
100%.
You'll only avoid relegation really because the Championship isn't equipped to host Premier League sides.
But you'll win the Europa League, get a load of money and qualify for the Champions League the following season. Absolutely. Bob Dwyer's in the comments this morning. European finals aren't for all North London clubs. So there's even in victory, Spurs fans, of course, sticking the boot into Arsenal. Fair play, though. Has to be done. Mason Cruyff says Fountainstown, Forlan.
The technical ability of both goals, very different, very good. It actually goes to show, right, the quality of these players, that Mount's second goal, the left footer, from just inside his own half, right, is that the game was done, tie was finished, he had played well. When those players at that level are mentally sharp and confident, look what they can do with a football. You see Mason Mount other times where he's kind of anonymous or just he's grand, like 5 or 6 out of 10, and that's when you're with the rest of them and mentally you're not that sharp, you're not that confident.
Yeah,
that's the difference. Of why these lads make it to that level.
It's
true. Look what they can do when they're confident.
He's a perfect example, Mason Mount and Harry Maguire, of players who've gone through.
I wouldn't put Mason Mount in the Harry Maguire.
No, not quite. Sorry, for two different reasons, but Mount more so for injury and struggles, not of his own making. Harry Maguire out of form and dealing with a lot of flack from fans, but both have come back from their respective things.
I think it's almost worse for Mount because at least no one forgot Maguire. At least people are still talking about Maguire. Mount came on the Nottingham Forest game recently at the City Ground when they last won it. I think it was that game. And he nearly scored when he came on. I was like, number 7? Who's United's number 7? I briefly considered that. I was like, oh yeah, the guy was gone. Now, it's more palatable for him, I imagine, because it's out of his control. He's getting injured all the time. He started a big game earlier this season. Was it at home to Liverpool? Or at home to City? It was a big game anyway at Old Trafford. And it was kind of a surprise inclusion. He came from nowhere. And he broke down after a few minutes of the game and went off in tears. And you just felt sorry for the guy. It was like, there probably is a player in there. but we haven't seen it for a long time.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's coming back right at the correct time.
Yeah, at a really good time. And United squad all of a sudden heading into this Europa League final with a bit of confidence. But again, and maybe this gets Amorim a bit more leeway and credit compared to Ange, because Ange's press conference has gone so negative. Amorim comes on the TV last night after the match, and Owen Hargreaves paid homage to this as well. He's such a good communicator. He clearly loves his players, because the smile on his face when Mount scored that second goal in injury time, his second goal in injury time. He's very eloquent when he speaks, but he also says, look, this means nothing, and the whole run means nothing if we don't go and win the Europa League final, which is what United fans want to hear.
I think it's the first time I've seen him smile mid-match.
Correct. Yeah, I thought that at the time as well.
Yeah,
I was thinking this is
he's a ball of stress in a game.
Yeah. Yes.
And he's very charming either side of a match.
And I think he likes Mason Mount. I do not think he likes a lot of those players.
He's a manager's player, Mason Mount. Managers love Mason.
Because he trains well, apparently.
Well, apparently he understands instructions down to a T, and he don't need to tell him twice.
Yeah.
And that's not the case for a lot of players.
He's intelligent.
Yeah. But, Amorim, I've been saying that for a while. I don't think he likes the squad. I think he's actually protecting a lot of them individually in terms of what he says. Like, there's the whole Marcus Rashford, my goalkeeping coach, I'd rather have him up front and all that. Like, Rashford didn't get away with it, but other players do individually. But he clearly has inherited a side that are more inferior than he anticipated.
Yeah.
If you said, Ruben, would you go back there 6 months and still take the job?
Yeah, you'd wonder. It was obviously tougher than he probably expected it to be, but look, I think it's the lineup that both sets of fans dread. United fans look at Spurs at the other side of the aisle and think, oh no, you don't want to lose to another Premier League team in a European final, especially a team like Spurs who, you know, trophies are obviously something that have escaped them for so long. 2008 was the last one. And then Spurs don't want to see United either necessarily, because probably of their good record against them recent times, some people would expect them to really beat United in this game. That's going to be tough. So it's a nasty fixture that I think both sets of fans look. It's going to be mad. I'm going to be over there for the final as well, and it's going to like the atmosphere of the San Mamés. You even saw it for the semi final. Looked incredible. Looks like an amazing stadium. Unbelievable city. It's going to be quite an occasion, and so much on the line. Not just the trophy, but the finances, the ability to draw players for next season in the transfer window as well. The fact that the Champions League anthem could return to Old Trafford or to the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium next season, and what that'll mean for fans. It's huge. It's absolutely huge.
It is mad. It's like if Ange Postecoglou does get sacked after bringing Spurs back into the Champions League, he's going to mention that forever.
Oh yeah. He goes out on a massive high.
Forever after.
Yeah.
You know, if anyone labels anything against them again, in 5 to 10 years time, he's going to use this season as an example of what he did. He could turn around and say, look at the squad I have. The difference is he had time to fix it, whereas Amorim essentially inherited what he has.
True.
15 Irish players got white smoke yesterday.
They did. Yeah, they did.
The most ever, beating the 14 of 2009. It's actually remarkable looking at how much has changed in Irish rugby since the last Lions tour in 2021. Is that a number of these players, of these high-profile players, are playing for the Lions for the first time. So you have the likes of Tadhg Byrne, James Ryan and Josh van der Fleer particularly stand out in that regard. And to a lesser extent, because they're obviously younger, Dan Sheehan and Joe McCarthy, which is understandable. Ronan Keller, Andrew Porter did get caught up 4 years ago, but got injured. Now, there wasn't much to talk about from the actual announcement of the squad, because I thought it would have been a surprise if he had picked Sam Prendergast.
Yeah.
But of course, there is a world where this isn't over at all and players get injured regularly, particularly in rugby. So there's a world where a lot of these omissions will eventually get called to Australia. But as it stands, and we'll talk with Alan Quinnan about it, it's hard to argue with it too much.
Generally
about
speaking.
What's there.
Yeah, it is. Like when I saw the squad yesterday, by the way, the drama around the squad, I really liked it yesterday, the whole way they did it.
Oh, here. Obviously, I actually put that as a note, right?
Go on.
I like pageantry and all that.
Yeah.
I enjoy an event.
You do.
What is it about these live draws that take forever to get going? Saw it in the All Ireland series draw as well, and live on YouTube.
Yeah.
And they play these pre-recorded interviews, like, to get going, as if they're holding, as if they're waiting for more people to join or whatever. I don't know if that's the reason. But yesterday for the Lions, I logged on at 2 o'clock on the YouTube channel, the official Lions YouTube channel that everyone was invited to. And I went on, and there was thousands and thousands of people there. And it was like, just get on with it. Get on. And I went, do you know why they were saying that? Because they were showing this pre-recorded video of a mural of this graffiti artist talking about him, his art. And it was loosely connected with the Lions. It turned out the big reveal there was that right at the top right-hand corner of the wall that he was painting it was the name of Mario Itoje. But it was hidden from us at that point. And then when he was named as captain, they put it back out there in the camera to show that's what actually we're talking about all there. But it was like, what's this about? Like, just start the draw. Just immediately, in this instance, tell us who's picked. But it goes on forever and ever. And I'm thinking, Shane, are they reading the room here? Mm. Do they know that this infuriates people? It's like the DJ at the Aviva Stadium. Does that person know that that music is way too loud for everyone and that they can't talk?
I don't know who the audience is. I don't know who it's for. Is it for the corporates?
Is there anyone who turned on that Lions live draw on YouTube yesterday, a live announcement, and thought, no, this is good. I like this running order.
It's a fine production.
This is great now, yeah. I like the weight. I'd say there was, I don't know how long it was. Someone might tell me, 0879-180-180. How many minutes between the stream starting and even Mario Itoje being announced first? Because he comes out first. He does the interview.
Yeah.
And then the squad's announced after that.
Yeah, it was all like, while I liked the pageantry, what I meant though was I liked the, you know, the video, like,
no, Northampton back down.
No, I'm not back down. You know, like, Northampton Saints released a lovely video of their players all reacting together to the news. So that's the actual club stuff.
Oh, no, though. Not the necessarily. Great. The, yeah. There's loads of that stuff. Loads of it.
Mm.
I think there was a Leinster video posted as well, because they're on they're travelling and Jordy Barrett's jumping on. Ah, fair play.
That's nice. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I see what
you mean. I'd say there's so much passive aggression in Jordy Barrett's fair play. I'd say he's just so, it's like, well done. That's great. What about Saturday though?
Yeah, that's true.
But do you know what I mean? By this live announcement, it was like, just say, hi, how are you? Thanks for joining us. The following people have been selected.
It'd be too quick then, wouldn't it? You have to strike a balance. But I see what you mean about the lack of experience. Like, so Furlong and Elliot Daly are the only 3-time tourists in the squad, which is mad. And I saw Nathan chatting yesterday, and a few other people you see online as well, talking about the lack of excitement maybe about the squad compared to previous years. I'm not sure if that's necessarily true, but obviously you don't have many Pollocks who you can lay your hat on and say that's a really, really exciting player. I don't know. Finn Smith is obviously another exciting player. But I think generally got the decisions right, Andy Farrell. Like, Sam Prendergast seemed a bit soon. Caelan Doris will obviously be devastated as well, how his week has materialised, not just yesterday. But I think overall, really, really exciting from an Irish perspective. We're sleeping on the fact that there's just so many. What is it, 15 Irish, as you said? 12 Leinster players? Yeah. Like, it's madness. And you get some sour grapes from across the water as well, from English fans particularly, who think that there should have been maybe less Irish, possibly more English, because England have got the better hand of Ireland in maybe recent months. But it's
the Irish head coach.
Natural. 100%. And Ireland generally have had Grand Slams in Six Nations in recent years when England haven't. So that argument, I think, goes out the window. But yeah, really, really exciting. And even the Pope was getting involved in it yesterday, obviously picking Leo as his name. So obviously wanted to be a Lion himself. So yeah, we're all getting involved.
It obviously highlights provincial problems again. Like,
it does.
Of the 15 Irish players, 12 Leinster, 2 Connacht, 1 Munster, no Ulster. Sorry, being correct here about Tyburn did play the last Lions tour. It's actually quoting from this article from Jerry Thornley yesterday. Dan Sheehan, Ronan Kelleher, Andrew Porter, who was originally picked but ruled out through injury. Tyburn, Joe McCarthy, James Ryan and Josh Van Der Fleer are all in line for their first Lions tours.
Okay. First, yeah.
So maybe, yeah. So look, anyway, a lot can change. And who knows? The likes of Sam Prendergast, Robbie Henshaw, Jack Willis, Owen Farrell.
Yeah.
Could still yet go. I don't know if Willis is a victim of playing with Toulouse and the fact that if they go all the way, they'll be playing until the 28th of June. You can say the same thing about Blair Kinghorn, but maybe they're more willing to take a risk for Kinghorn than they are for Willis. But other than that, you'd have the odd debate here and there. And then some of the feedback's been the squad lacks a bit of star quality.
Possibly. Yeah, Pollock is the is the standout. You know, you always need that young player who people are saying, oh, this fella could be a tourist four times, five times across the next number of years across his career. But he's maybe that player. Yeah, it's just, is it because it's Australia as well? That obviously adds pressure for Andy Farrell, but I don't know, they're probably expected to win this tour as well.
Yeah, there's elements that, no, Australia are marginally improved.
Yeah.
And like there's the Joe Smith factor that he'll obviously, he'll know a lot of these players well, intimately enough, but there's a feeling that whatever iteration of the Lions goes out on the pitch in the three tests, they'll at least in two of them get over the line.
Mm.
But I don't know. Like it's funny to me that people are surprised now. A lot of people are surprised now. There's a lack of star power when everyone knew the players available for selection, so it wasn't like a big surprise. But I was noting when each player was getting called out individually in that live video that Henry Pollock got by far and away the biggest cheer in the crowd.
Yeah.
So there was a number of Lions supporters in the crowd, so they were reacting like fans to each announcement.
This is the influence of brand managers, says Michael in the YouTube comments. Shane, please show some love for the new World Snooker Champ. There's been zero mention of him this week from any of the lads. It's a disgrace. Zhao Jintong, first Chinese winner. Congratulations to him. Super impressive. And a really excellent final as well. Well, one-sided to a degree, but Mark Williams came back. And,
when I say excellent.
Yeah, when I say excellent, I mean born.
No, well, he came back. Mark Williams, that evening where he came back and won those four frames, he started to perk the ears up a little bit, but he just couldn't. He had given himself too much work to do. But I mean, the quality from Zhao Jintong was excellent all throughout the tournament.
For the snooker purists out there.
The snooker purists out there, you'll have enjoyed that final. Someone's mentioned Anthony as well in the comments. Like, once again, a goal and an assist for Real Betis last night against Fiorentina to take them to the Europa
level.
Conference League. It's mad.
He's found his level.
He has. He probably has.
And where he will play his Manchester United teammate, Jadon Sancho.
That's true, yes. In a Europa Conference League final. That's fascinating.
Like, could both be back at United next season.
Good. On their massive wages.
It's good news for United. It'll mean someone will come and buy Anthony.
Surely.
I mean, for nothing like what they paid. But someone will take him there. He'll definitely get a loan away for another season or something.
They'll recoup some money.
Yeah.
Someone says they should do the Europa League versus Conference League winners for the Champions League spot. The Conference League has better teams in the semi-final. Maybe.
Yeah, I don't think that person's watching much Fiorentina or Betis.
No, true.
I'd wager that.
True, yeah.
I'd wager that.
I'll take that on.
Yeah.
Come back at him with that.
You watching much Djurgårdens?
Djurgårdens.
You watching a lot of them, yeah?
They're not great this season, though.
Not great.
They're not great. Not like 2016-17 Djurgårdens.
Yeah, so, fair play, mate. Fair
you know
play.
About them, don't you?
Of course, huge team. Yeah, massive. Someone has mentioned Leinster final talk, Dylan. I know there's been plenty of that on the shows across the week, and like the one thing that doesn't get mentioned, the Ulster final is on as well tomorrow. There's just so much.
Yeah, we did tune in yesterday. We previewed each of those games.
Yeah, the Tatlin Cup was one. It was, of course, Arthur as a Sligo man mentioned it in the production meeting this morning that we should give it credit because it's. Unfortunately for the Tatlin Cup teams, it's gotten buried, and there's going to be some really, really good games. Like looking at the round one fixtures tomorrow, you've Wexford Longford, Kildare versus Leitrim, Laois against Waterford, Offaly Wicklow. Oisín's still at Wicklow, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. You've Mickey Hart up against Oisín McConville tomorrow, you know, in Tullamore. You've Limerick against London, and then some games on Sunday in the Tatlin as well. Westmeath against Antrim, which will be a high quality game. Westmeath were really good in Division 2 of the league, albeit ultimately relegated, but should have won some of those games. And Antrim under Andy McEntee showed something against Armagh in the first half of that game in Ulster. Fermanagh against Carlo, Sligo versus Tipperary as well, and Tubbercurry at 1:30 on Sunday. Like some really good games, just it's gotten lost.
Ah, yeah. It has no hope, like, unfortunately. It just doesn't. It's not a reflection on it. It's just it has no hope of cutting through. Like, most things don't. Like, Ting won't do much. Like, you're going to have, I think there's a half an hour in the difference to start between the Ulster final and Leinster Tip.
Yeah.
Sorry, Leinster Tip of Tip Clare.
Yeah, 5:25 and
so 5:25 and 6 on, you know, and I presume it'll be probably the hurling that suffers because it's on GA Plus. But that's mad. Like, it's just it's not saying anything anyone hasn't said before, but it's just mad. It's just such a and that's like, yeah, we're only scratching the surface. It's so funny, like, after the week that's in it as well, with all the skirt controversy. And like, but there's games this weekend, but like, they'll get buried. It will not be talked about next week whatsoever. Mm. It'll be gone, be out of the public consciousness again. It's pretty grim. Like, it's there's just too much going on.
Yeah.
It's not that bad.
No, but it's pretty bleak that it doesn't. You don't get to do it well, properly.
Like I says to you when I came back from holidays, I realised it was impossible to watch all the sport at once. And I earmarked that Sunday in particular.
Yeah.
And you felt that way at the time.
Sure, if you think
and you still feel this way in advance, right?
Yeah.
But Scarthgate is still talked about massively.
Yeah.
So three of our colleagues took to the streets yesterday, and I was asking Rachel, like, did you have to explain it, or did people know about it? It was like everyone they asked, they're right on top of this.
Yeah.
There is somewhere. So the special Congress in 2 weeks' time. So this could feasibly happen, right? Cork Waterford stick to their plan of wearing the shorts this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
The delegates rejected again at Congress, because why would they change their mind in theory unless they're just under pressure?
They have to know, yeah.
They change their beliefs
because
they're put under pressure. So they reject it, and then what happens? Would it be that, like, the players continue to wear shorts?
Yeah.
And then the Congress or the Camogie Association just pretends that it's not happening.
Yeah, they're
thereby making the Congress pointless.
Yeah, that's quite likely. And it's funny, it's quite similar to the aligned calendar in the football thing, where the FAI have come up with this one plan, and a lot of leagues across the country are going to just say, oh yeah, very good. No, we're just going to continue with September to May. Thanks anyway. It's the same with the Scort stuff. If this is not passed by the GAA,
cheers, mate. Yeah, thanks.
If it's not passed by the Camogie Association, but, this time, know,
who are these delegates, and why are they changing their minds now? Because they've seen the errors of their ways.
There's a different momentum behind it this time. Like, it's not.
Yeah, but that means that the first time they were just like, oh, whatever, just not tradition. They either didn't think about it enough the first time, or they're going against what they thought this time.
But they will, like, and I don't know, like, I think when there's going to be such an amount of political feeling behind it.
Mm.
I just don't. I'd be astonished. Like, it would. Like, I don't even know. To be fair, like, I'm not sure exactly how they're made up, but I don't know if they're made up in the same sort of blocks that it would necessarily even work that way, that they could all be influenced. I assume enough of them will be kind of sensitive to public opinion.
Yeah, well, that
it would be so odd.
Not when you vote, you don't have to justify your selection.
Yeah.
So all you have to do is vote for it. You can just keep it to yourself. But a lot of people would be like, okay, look, everybody wants this, and I ultimately don't feel this strongly about it. But it's just what's your opinion on the fact that it's a special Congress in 2 weeks now?
Well, there just had to be. It's the right move by the Camogie Association. And it's probably as early as they could have called it. Obviously, there takes a bit of admin to get an event like this arranged, so maybe 2 weeks is fair enough.
So do you think they've saved face a little?
Well, they've only saved face a little if it passes. And you've got me concerned now the way you're talking, because also I'm thinking, obviously there are traditionalists and conservative Camogie Association people maybe within that Congress who voted against this in the first place last year. And those people are going to look at the recent public outcry, and if they are conservative and traditionalists, they'll just double down now and they'll say, well, no, I'm not changing my vote. So that would be very damning and terrible public relations for the Camogie Association. Like, they could save face certainly by passing it, and then they said they're going to bring it in 2 days later. I don't see a universe in which they don't bring it in. Like, the Cork-Waterford game, by the way, it's still in doubt, they're saying, because the teams are going to insist on playing in shorts. And do they have to stick by the current rules? The referee, does he have to say match abandoned? Like, if he goes by the rule book, the Munster final will be abandoned this weekend, because they are adamant they are not changing out of the shorts.
This whole thing has been such a joke, but it's absolutely class what the players have done.
Yeah.
At the same time. Like, it's unbelievable. And if the Waterford and Cork players stick to their plan and go shorts, and just in a world that it's rejected again, special Congress, and everyone continues to wear shorts, so that'd be amazing. Because there's really nothing the Camogie Association could do then if everyone aligns to it. It is the ultimate successful protest.
It takes radical action for things to change. And to be honest, probably, and I know Cork and Waterford won't agree with this because they want this game to go ahead tomorrow, but one of the best things that could happen is almost the two teams come out in shorts tomorrow, referee tells them to change, they refuse to change, referee abandons the game, and then the whole thing goes stratospheric. The Munster final has been postponed because the referee implemented the rules as the archaic rules as they currently are. I think the game being abandoned tomorrow would really push this thing over the edge. Like, it's already at breaking point, but not. Look, we all want the game to go ahead, but also it would be serious in terms of driving this thing forward and pushing it. But anyway, look, special Congress. Also, John Fogarty says football versus hurling, the new Blur versus Oasis. You might have a views on that. Which is Blur, which is Oasis, football or hurling?
Good question.
I know you're a music man.
I'd say hurling's Blur and football's Oasis.
No, yeah. Definitely not.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Can you explain your rationale? Why?
Blur more artsy.
Blur more artsy.
Slightly less mainstream than Oasis. More people play football than hurling.
Arthur, you disagree?
I feel like, yeah, I think I used his point against him. That artsy, slightly intellectual side of things, football's full of them.
Oh, no.
Hurling is still more kind of raw.
Charlie says Camogie is like the gorilla spin-off.
Camogie is the gorilla spin-off.
Yeah. Camogie's pull-up.
No, it's pull-up. Charlie's correct. No, hurling, there's definitely a superiority complex among the hurling elite.
Mm.
And that's Blur to Oasis.
No, it's
not. Yeah, there is. It was like, this is the proper game. This is GA. Football was only invented for people who couldn't play hurling. Yeah.
That's Oasis all over.
Oasis are getting football. Oasis are mainstream. Oasis are everywhere.
Do you know why it is? As well?
He got it in his head. Oasis. He finally has a debate. He was like, I have nothing here. I have nothing to go by.
Even when you think there's the Northern England / outsider element to Oasis that there is in hurling as the outsider aspect of it. Blur, London, mainstream, everything else, Gaelic football.
No.
Everyone.
Blur have some amazing album songs that never got released. Just some great hurling games that we never see.
You'll see every
football game.
Hurling has all the hits.
It ran down your throat.
Yeah.
It's the wonderwall.
The gigs in the small back alleys. Like, that's the GA plus, essentially.
Dublin and Croke Park, don't look back in anger.
Yeah.
Can't get away from it.
Nebworth is Croke Park.
Oh.
Or Seba Stadium. Munster hurling final.
I don't think there's any doubt about it. 0879 180
Let us know what you think.
Blur equals hurling. Oasis equals Gaelic football.